Welcome to Leap Forward with Reese Sternschnell, our first podcast coming to you live from Chilton, Wisconsin, the birthplace of Reese Sternschnell. My name is Bo Duracek, Strategic Solutions Manager. Been with the company 19 years, started out in sales back in 2005 for a handful of years, and then got into sales management and now into managing the technology group here.
Yeah, I'm Trevor Balthazor, Digital Specialist with Reese Sternschnell, covering the eastern half of the state. Working with the operations center, embedded tech and the displays. That's pretty much it.
I'm Jordan Hempel. I've been here for about 6 years now. Started in high school, worked my way up through the shop, and then about a year and a half ago, I switched to the hardware specialist position, and I cover the central part of the state.
So I'm Chan Stelter. I'm a regional sales manager here at Reese Sternschnell. I'm actually the new guy in the group, so I've been here almost 3 months. And previous to that, spent about 20 years in the seed business throughout Wisconsin and the Midwest. So excited to be working for Reese Sternschnell. Today we're going to talk about a lot of things, but one of the things Bo mentioned right away is the birthplace of Reese Sternschnell. So Bo, you want to explain that a little bit? What year are we talking here?
We're talking over 90 years of business here at Chilton location. Started out actually hauling milk and fixing cars. And gravitated into actually the Ford brand of cars and then Ford tractors and then into New Holland and then John Deere later on. So actually we're a New Holland dealer first and then gravitated to John Deere. So a lot of cool history here. We actually used to have a bar and a gas station on the corner and been told a lot of late night deals were done over at the bar over there.
Can only imagine.
So apparently a few of the wives over the years got upset with how late the guys were coming home from work and buying tractors and stuff at midnight, so it kind of went away after a certain amount of time. But later on, we can take a walk and get a picture or so of the back bar area that's still actually there. So we keep parts in that area right now.
Yeah, so the store's been here for a long time. There's a ton of history here. One of the things that Bo and I both have in common, I guess, specifically to this location, the fact that we both grew up in this area. So yep. We both come from family farms that were clients of Reese Sternschnell.
Yep.
And so a lot of memories of coming here as we were kids. We're a lot older than you guys. This is way back in the day.
Easy.
Coming here as kids, you know, it was always fun to run and get parts with your dad or whatever, and you stop, you get to go to the vending machine, you get a treat for that day or whatever the case may be. And I remember looking around the room and seeing the salespeople in their offices and talking to members of the Reese Sternschnell family, and it was always pretty neat to do that.
Yep.
Now we find ourselves here in these offices. Yep. So pretty neat situation there. But
yep.
It was neat to see you all over the years. And look, now we're what? How many locations do we have, guys?
14 locations. Yep. Two of them are turf stores currently. Yep. So yeah, 14 locations in Northeast Wisconsin, Northeast and Central Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so a lot of history here. A couple of things we wanted to touch on today. If you haven't noticed, there's a big age difference in our speakers today. And it's, so one of the topics is technology, which is interesting. We bring in the young people to talk about technology. Bo and I pride ourselves on being pretty up to date, but yet at the same time, I will hand my cell phone to my 14-year-old and 11-year-old to tell me how to do something, right? Or how to work the TV remote, right? Let's be honest, do you guys know how to work your TV remotes?
You don't need a TV remote. You can just use your phone now.
So now you're speaking Korean again. See?
Are you still turning the channel? You still have one of your kids turn the channel for you? Are you there? Is that where you're at?
They find the clicker, right? So anyway, we're talking about technology, and fortunately at Reese Sternschnell, we have some great team members with us on our team and here today doing similar roles, but also touching customers differently. And why? I guess I'm going to ask the question, maybe more to Bo to start off with, why is technology a big deal for our company?
Big deal for our company, definitely with technology. So everything is going that way, right? We're on our path to full autonomy here in the next 5 to 10 years. And there's also the groundwork that we need to be laying to get to that eventually. But everything is going towards being able to do less with more, right? So we're getting the data, we're gathering data, we're gathering multi-points of communication, monitoring equipment so that we can help the customer out before it breaks down, letting them know when there's things that are happening in the equipment, and then notifying them through communications with John Deere and their equipment to make sure that's all going on smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. So one of the things with me transitioning careers to here, it's a big deal working somewhere 20 years and then moving on is what's going to fulfill my need for science and technology and all those things that they're prevalent in agriculture, but depending on where you work, they're different. And in the seed business, it was more of a science. One of the things I picked up on right away in starting to work at Restern Chanel is I'm going to be able to fill that need with this technology. There are some really awesome things that are not only fun in concept, but then to see how they benefit the farmers. Like, that's the really fun part for me in the information that we have at our fingertips. And a lot of that information is created by the equipment, but then how you guys set this equipment up and how you help our customers. So from your perspective, Trevor, what's the most interesting thing about you? What do you do with customers out in the field? The aha moments you see on people's faces, how do you make an impact in helping people use that technology?
Yeah, I would say the biggest part is when that customer probably purchases that first connected machine. I can give a little background. A connected machine is what we have, a 4G modem, basically a cellular type modem that's making that tractor call into our cloud-based system, our John Deere Operations Center. When that starts and then when we can start to see that data flowing back and forth is really when it clicks for that customer of what this can unlock for their farm. It really seems to want for them to take more leaps forward to what else can I connect? What else can I do with this data? It really is the first puzzle piece to starting the whole thing. And then from there, it can go many different ways. But I would say it's really getting that first piece of equipment. And we're seeing more and more John Deere's making it easier for that operations center to be set up without that first piece of equipment. So we're able to go back to that legacy equipment or even to some of that competitive equipment now to unlock every single farm, to make that digital farm, you know, a whole piece for every single farm.
Wait, so time out. So you said competitive equipment. So we're able to put our technology on competitive equipment?
Yeah, absolutely. We're putting our John Deere displays and receivers on Case equipment, Kloss equipment, Fendt equipment. It can either be a fully integrated system that we get through a third party that ties into their CAN system, or it can be just through a modem and a universal auto track system, an ATU, that would go on the steering wheel. But we're very, very capable of going into competitive equipment. And then through our John Deere Operations Center, we're also able to pull that data from those competitive displays every night at midnight from Slingshot, Raven, and Trimble. So we're able to kind of do both ways if you still want to use your competitive displays, but you still want your data into the operations center to complete that picture, or we can truly put our hardware in that in pretty much every single cab.
Okay. Okay. So Bull Group, do you ever see John Deere customers asking to put a competitive equipment, technology equipment in our machines?
Not normally.
No. No. Good answer. Good answer.
It's very, very rare.
But we have had people actually switch brands of tractors just because of the technology available through John Deere and the information they can get, like I said earlier, the data that they can get to utilize their crop management systems to better serve the farm. And everybody's always looking for ways to, you know, an extra bushel or an extra pound of milk. It's always what they're trying to do is like that little bit extra.
Right, right. So Jordan, for you, Jordan's, as far as I'm concerned, when I have a technology question, I know I have two people to call and more within, you know, some of our techs are very good with precision ag and that sort of thing. And no offense to either. I actually start with one of you and know it's probably going to go to the other or vice versa. We don't really know as I'm learning, but Jordan, you handle a lot of the equipment and what we need to set up this equipment and that sort of thing. What do you see out in the field? What's your favorite part of dealing with customers and what's your aha moment?
I'd say my favorite part is when everything's done, everything comes together, just the outcome of what the customer actually wanted when that conversation first started to what it came to at the end, and they see the results, they see that what they paid for actually did what it did. You know, that's the biggest, I'd say, aha moment, like you said, mm-hmm. of putting all the pieces together and actually having that complete puzzle in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So we can't let Chad off the hook here. Since you've come over from the seed business, what have you noticed about the technology side of things, maybe that you didn't know before?
I'm supposed to ask the questions. I'm not supposed to have to
answer. I told you I wasn't going to let you on the hook.
No, the tech for me, and I have a dairy background. I've always been following the dairy business very closely, and I'm passionate about dairy and agronomy, of course, with my background. So the more data we can have coming in is very beneficial to me to see how it can affect customers' operations. I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to the App Center. And looking at maps and having those things at your fingertips. So I like to look at maps and look for discrepancies in the field. And I think it's something we really underutilize at this point yet, because we have all this data. So what I'm talking about is our ability to record operations out in the field and then record yields. In the seed business, we do a lot of experimentation, right? It's very labor intensive to try to generate data. Had I known what I know now, in the past 5 to 10 years in the seed business, I would have done things differently. I would have been looking for John Deere customers, learning about the data, because we can do it all right from the equipment that we have as far as trying experiments. So it doesn't take a lot of labor intensive work. So for example, we can split a planter, right? You want to try a hybrid A versus hybrid B, we can split a planter and run it across 200 acres instead of running it 200 feet in a field and measuring yields. And then we can come through with the harvest equipment and on a broad spectrum, look for differences in those two hybrids. It's a much more informed decision than 200 feet in a field. Love test plots, but a lot of the test plots out there are not replicated. They're in one corner of a field. There's a lot of factors that can affect those yields in that small test sample. So to me, we're just this tip of the iceberg for what I plan on doing, what I'm hoping we're going to do as a business moving forward and setting up experiments with customers and gleaning that information from the equipment that's already there.
Perfect.
So,
you know, as I don't know about you guys, but I am meeting to death. I just want to get out there. You know, we just had a recent snowfall of like 6 to 12 inches, depending upon where you are in the state of Wisconsin. But I am just excited to get out in the field, and I'm sure you guys are too, just to kind of get some acres behind us and seed in the ground. What are you guys thinking about over the next few weeks as what you're going to see going into the field? Anybody?
Yeah, no, I think working with a lot of customers, it's like Chad said, getting them to set trials on their farm, but trials that aren't just that corner of the field. So with our equipment, a lot of customers were setting up where they are splitting that planter, where they're documenting that, getting that set, because that truly is the groundwork to getting those trials into the op center. And then, you know, with our harvest equipment, we're able to document that. So really a lot of setup right now, and, you know, seeing all that hard work go to the field and get that documented, and then from there it's off to the races.
Yeah, and not to mention all the new technology that we have out this year too. I mean, multiple new customers running AutoPath, running Implement Guidance, basically setting up the groundwork for application and harvest come later this year.
You mentioned AutoPath. Mm-hmm. Elaborate.
So AutoPath, we put a John Deere receiver on our planter. You can put out a strip till unit as well. But basically, we're going to be mapping every single row throughout the field, and all those mapped rows are going to come back into Operations Center, where we can then push them back out to our sprayer and our combine or our forage harvester, and we can utilize that for our best pass throughout the field. So it's going to group these rows together to give us the least amount of passes to make our equipment the most efficient in the field.
Why is that important to the operator?
I mean, think about time. You know, not everybody, you know, nobody has time anymore. Everything is go, go, go. Chemical savings, just efficiency savings as well. You know, I'm sure the more efficient that you can be, depending on what the weather is.
How about fatigue on the operator, right? There's less passes when the choppers and the combines, they don't have to actually steer, right? They're not even using the roll sense anymore. They're actually using the anticipated movement of where the corn roll was. Mm-hmm. The harvester will come along and do that instead of just feeling the rolls. So it's way more accurate, right?
And not to mention, when you pull into the field, if you do the nice part of the technology also, you're talking about setting up now and over the winter months. If we do the work with the technology in advance, it makes it very simple in spring. So work planner, for example, with AutoPath, what I love about that, as we struggle, the labor force is dwindling, right? It's hard to find people. It's hard to find people to operate equipment. But with work planner and AutoPath, you can basically put anyone in a machine. They can pull into the field. If they can click OK, they can do the work in that field. So it lowers the requirements of some of the operators that we need. I mean, Bo, I bet you could even
operate
a
business. I could possibly
and not run corn over, you know, for the first time.
Why don't you expand on the work plan a little bit?
Yeah, well, first, I just wanted to give the biggest selling point to AutoPath is that you're not going to have your roll of shame so your neighbor can't make fun of you.
There you go.
I find that that's one of the biggest things that it just trips the light bulb and the customers are like, we need to do that. We mitigate those rolls of shame. So that's a big part of the AutoPath that seems to just trip a lot of people's triggers that the value of it there. But yeah, with the work plan, going back to that, that is something that I would say is probably one of the most underutilized pieces of John Deere technology within the operations center. And I guess I say within the John Deere operations center, but it's also something that's a technology in the display. So it ties them both together. With that work planner, we're going in, we're setting our variety, we're setting our seeding rates or our prescription rate. We're also setting our fertilizer rates if that's coming in through our display as well. We can also set guidance lines. So when you get to the field, there's not a question of what guidance line to use. It already pre-populates. You click OK once you cross that field border and you're in the field, everything's set up. Your display is ready to document before your planter's unfolded. See that really, really benefiting our customers that every single customer, I think, wants to document good data. They have very good intentions. When you get to the field, it's a different story, right? There's 100 things going through your head. You're just trying to get seed in the ground. That's the measure of success with planting is getting seed in the ground. The last thing anybody wants to do is be typing in on their display. So that's where I see a lot of the value is setting that up ahead of time. The biggest part is it's all editable in the display. So I very much understand that the variety you plan to plant on that field very much might not be a variety that actually is.
Well, that never changes.
No.
The original plans all through spring. I mean, you know that.
You got 20 years of experience, so I'm going with you on that.
Wait, it rained. I need five days less maturity. You got to swap that out. I get it. Yeah, there's always changes.
Yeah, but it's definitely the pre-planned tool that, I mean, you can plan your years, you know, your crop plan, your tillage plan, your application plan within a day.
Yeah.
If everything's set up and everything's clean. So work planner is really the end all to sending information back and forth and pre-planning. And like you said, having that a little bit less on the operator so that there's not as much on their plate, and the farm operator, the owner of the farm can make sure that they're getting their data that they're wanting. Because if we don't set it up right for planting, we're pretty much SOL for the rest of the year in terms of collecting good data and understanding that. So
transitioning into some of the equipment that we can work on, Jordan, this is for you. Talk about precision upgrades. What does that have for value on, let's say, an older planter or a sprayer that we have that we can help that customer who maybe can't quite upgrade to that new piece? Maybe get some of the newest technology that's available.
Yeah, precision upgrades kind of offer I'm not going to say a low cost, but much less than what a new planter.
A lot less investment, right?
Yeah. You already had your previous investments, so if you got a good machine, you know, a good planter bar, a good sprayer, it gives you the option with an upgrade kit to make that old planter new again. You get a new serial number, you get new row units on the planter. It gives you the option if you want hydraulic drive, electric drive. You can do different fertilizer systems, lighting kits, the sprayers. As long as it's an R series, we can start putting See and Spray on there. So that's pretty huge. Product reclaim, that's a big one. So you're not, you know, killing the first 50 yards of your soybean field when you get in there and spray that. Product reclaim takes care of that. I'm sure you've seen that before, Chad.
I have. It's not the seed's fault.
No, right? Sprayer blade. Sprayer blade happens.
Sprayer blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in a V shape. Well, that's just how it died. It's a seed. Trust me.
Tillery.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other ones we have that we can think of offhand?
We have some kits for our combines now. So in the past, we used to be going through Land Coda for our cross auger shutoffs. John Deere actually has their own cross auger shutoff now, which is nice. A new kit that came out this past fall, winter time frame was our Precision Ag Essentials kits.
Yeah, please expand on that.
So in that Essentials kit, we get a G5 Plus, a Starfire 7000, and a choice of a JD-Link M modem or an R modem.
So what's the difference between the two?
An M modem is a standalone modem. It comes with the harness. Basically, we can put this into any piece of equipment that we want. So it's great for competitive conversion. Legacy equipment, deer, it can go on pickup trucks, semi trucks, you can pretty much put it in anything. The R modem, that would be more for an integrated type kit. So if we're putting it in an R series cab and we want to get CAN data, or if we want to do machine sync with it, we would need that R modem. So they each have different capabilities, but I'd say the highest take rate on our Precision Ag Essential kit so far has definitely been the M modem, because they've been utilized in such different applications from.
Yeah, and that's really interesting to me. One thing I'd like to point out is if you think about this technology and how we're using, depending on your geography and where you're located, right? We're in Wisconsin, very unique. Let's pretend we're a dealership in Western Minnesota, right? 640 acre sections, big fields. We're going to use this technology differently. You're putting those modems in combines and planter tractors. What are some of the differences you see here in Northeast Wisconsin? We're heavy dairy. What are some of the uses that you hadn't thought of maybe before you started in this career where we're putting these modems and actually getting data?
Yeah, so I've put a couple modems in a semi truck for forage. So our forage customers are running an iPad with the John Deere Operations Center up in their cab. And now they're able to see that truck. They're able to see how close it is to the field. Those modems are updating every 5 seconds. So we're getting location and speed every 5 seconds on that semi. I think that was pretty outside the box, but I think the nicest one today where I think we see a lot of value is on a 4044R, a feed pushing tractor on a large dairy. Mm-hmm. So that feed pushing tractor has an M modem in it. And now the farm manager is able to see every single time they're supposed to be pushing feed up every hour. That feed manager is able to see not only did the tractor start up, they can see the breadcrumb trail going through the barns. And they're able to see now in winter with their skid steers, they were always, you know, they thought they were idling a lot, but you could never put the, you know, you couldn't put your finger on it that, yeah, they were idling it a lot, or it was just a lot of use. Mm-hmm. Now with the operations center, you can check his phone and you can see if it's idling or if it's moving.
So. Trevor, you were reading my mind on that specific example. And that there, for younger salesmen out there that might be looking for competitive owners to call on, that was a situation where we've been calling on for a number of years, completely competitive owner. And we kind of got our foot in the door with compact tractors with different innovative ideas like that to help them throughout their dairy. So not just sprayers and combines and tractors. It's all about, you know, complete farm solutions.
Right. Data where you may not have thought about it. You know, that's important to dairy operations. For years in trying to monitor things, we had camera systems on farms and trying to monitor. But guess what? With a camera, what do you have to do? You have to replay it. You have to spend the time to watch it. If you can log into the op center in the morning and look at your breadcrumb trails of where that machine moved during the night with a timestamp on it, that's powerful. That's powerful. So what you're saying is, now I have to ask this question. We can put these modems in anything, right? So I have a 14-year-old that's going to be driving in a year and a half. I don't want to put one in my wife's vehicle because I know how she drives. We don't want to go down that road. Yeah.
There might be one in your garden. Right.
But seriously, that is something that you could, in theory, do if you wanted to track your young teenage driver.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah. Keep power and ground. And then the modem turns on, starts calling in right away. So one thing about our modems and this vehicle tracking type that we're using these for is our modems are basically a one-time fee. So in the past, we used Razor Tracking a little bit here and there and some other programs and companies. But one thing with those is there was always a monthly fee on them. So that's where we see a lot of value, and the customers are seeing a lot of value for that of, they're already using their operations center for all their equipment, all their data. Now we're just housing one more thing that app is truly their one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. A couple customers have said now, you know, farmers are always checking the weather, right? The weather is the first thing in the morning. They said the operations center is getting to be maybe one of the first, or it's definitely the second app click in the morning. So that's pretty powerful that's always on their mind every single day. They're opening that app just as much as they are the weather app. So mm-hmm. I think
that's a powerful thing that those M modems and really the whole solution is providing to our customers. That's bringing a lot of value. Mm-hmm.
With the spring season upon us, we've got a lot of bustling activity around the dealerships. What are you seeing at the stores that you guys travel to on a daily basis?
It seems like there's a lot of excitement. People are ready to get out into the fields. Everyone's tired of being cooped up inside. Technicians, myself, I'm sure Trevor.
Technicians in the shops are like at each other, like, yeah. We just need to get the shop doors open, let them breathe a little bit, you know, right. Fix some stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, it's interesting that last, I mean, it's kind of a catch 22, right? We get this snowstorm that comes through. In one sense, we're thankful for it. We need the moisture. Guess what? We don't need to be planting corn.
Right.
On what's today, April
4th?
4th. A little scary, and not to rip on farmers, but you know, someone's going to try it. As dry as we were, and we know what that can lead to. So it's a blessing in one sense, but now we're ready. Now we're turning the corner. Yep. The things that are moving through the shop, and you want to be busy, right? Being busy is a good sign for our business, the health of our business, and believe me, we're busy, what I see moving through these shops. But planters getting ready, tractors, chopper inspection still going on. I mean, the shops are full. Yep. and busy, and that's exciting. So people picking up new machinery.
Yep. Just looking for some, the turf shops looking for some lawnmowers to switch over. But obviously this week that was kind of on pause with all the snow and heavy wet snow we had this week too. So next week they'll be 61, 62 degrees. So we're going to get some stuff swapped over in the dealership as well.
Right. Well, we talked a lot about technology. What if I'm not a technology guy? Like, it's technology for everyone. Like, that's a question. Yeah. I have.
Like I said, the John Deere Operations Center is basic enough to, I have one for myself for our 200 acres that we run that I don't have a single connected piece of equipment, and I still don't even have any John Deere displays or receivers, but I am documenting all my stuff on layers in my phone and I'm doing it so that I have that timestamp. So for somebody that doesn't yet even have technology, I'm still using the technology. Mm-hmm. To all the capabilities that I can. So I think there's a spot for you anywhere along the ladder.
Correct.
Wherever you are, technology is for you.
We can meet you where you're at in that. If you're just getting introduced to this stuff, hey, you like your John Deere, we love that. Yeah. You don't have to jump in head first. We can introduce you to this in steps. I know some people can be a little scared of technology, so we can meet you where you're at on that. Absolutely. But coming back to, how are we going to set ourselves apart in the future? That's my question, and part of the reason why I took this job here. I love the John Deere brand. We know that, right? We have an advantage there. But there are some other colors that build some pretty decent equipment, not as good as ours, right?
Right.
But what's going to take us? How do we separate ourselves from those brands moving forward? Do we have something?
My biggest thing is it's an all green on green solution. So if you look at every other company that's out there, they're using third-party systems. And this is
what do you mean by a third party?
Like on the GPS side. Okay. So say CNH, they're with Raven. Yep. You know, they do own Raven, but it's a separate company.
Do you ever run into issues where you can't make things match or have issues making things try to match?
Oh no, not on the job your side.
I know that, but I'm saying I've heard you use not the best language when trying to put some things together that aren't red or green, I should say.
Yep.
Red things on green or blue
you
things on green.
It, you? No, never. But you know, the biggest thing that's gonna drive us and put us ahead of everybody else, which we are right now, is just the green on green solution. Hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting. And again, it's the younger generation here. That's only going to get more intense as we move forward. Deere's going to keep launching these data solutions for us and expanding on that. To me, that's the most exciting thing about the future of agriculture and what we can do here. And John Deere's the brand to do it with. So,
yeah, it's definitely crazy, the speed of everything. I think this year, got a customer that's going to go to the field and he's only going to have 3 steering wheel movements, and that whole field will be planted. So with some path planning and stuff that John Deere is bringing in the future, it's something that they unveiled in January. It's coming for spring. So it's the sense of how everything's moving and the pace. It's definitely crazy.
As we go into spring here, just wanted to remind everybody of what we really like to hang our hat on too is our sense of urgency, right? Parts, whether it's parts, service, or sales, we really want to take care of our customers. We need to meet their needs where they're at. And like I said earlier, with our 14 locations, we kind of are where you are. So with that, that's kind of a wrap on our first episode, first podcast episode, Leap Forward with Reister and Schnell. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel and rands.com.
Thanks for joining us today. We always like to see you, but we'd love to see you in a John Deere.
We're your John Deere dealer coming through for you, Reister and Schnell.